listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hip hop is prosecution evidence, the out of court settlement, ass space for liquor, sick with the benefits. Luxury tenements choking the skyline, this low life getting top high, getting treetop high. Here there's a black backwater remedy, bitter intent to memory, a class E felony, facing the death penalty, stimulant and sedative, original repetitive, violently competitive, a school uncredited. The break beats you get broken with on time and inappropriate. Hip hop went from selling crack to smoking it. Medicine for loneliness. Remind me of Thelonious and Dizzy. Props to B-boys getting busy. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Monday. Oh, programming note. And then we're all sad about this, but no Janelle James tomorrow. She got booked, and you know, the money is the money, you know.
Come on.
Get your coins, boo. We'll see you next time, but.
Mm-hmm. We'll be around.
Yep, we'll figure something out. But, until then, you got me and Karen, the Blackout Tips,
yeah,
of course.
You do.
We'll be doing our thing. The official weapon of the show is.
The taser.
The unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme. Today's podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is trying to hook you up for July. You only have 10 more days. Mm-hmm. If you want to get this month's crate, it's going to have a bunch of delicious goodies in it. Yes. And you're going to want to get some. All you got to do is go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, enter code TBGWT, and you can get $3 off of any new subscription. Loot Crate has all kinds of stuff, all kinds of items that come in there, man. Exclusive stuff you can't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items. I'm talking, you get a monthly t-shirt, you know, and if you get different boxes, you can get other stuff in them, like gear, like socks,
action
like
figures.
Right. I was wearing my Steven Universe underwear the other day. I mean, it's so many.
He had all the memes out.
It's so many things that you could do with your Loot Crate. Don't you want to be looking spiffy? Have your yams out.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, make sure you guys do that. And it's also brought to you by a little bit sexier sponsor, which I should have pulled up some music for. I just realized. You know what? Let me pull some up right now. Wow, Spotify takes its time. Okay. You know what happened to Spotify lately? It's just decided to slow the fuck down. Also, I didn't click on that. Why is it?
Oh shit. I didn't click on that.
I was not trying to play any Kendrick Lamar with that. All right, how about how about this? There we go.
Hey.
Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom, and they are gonna back up that promise, and y'all gonna back it up together. Mm-hmm. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off for almost any item when you enter offer code TBGWT in the checkout box. And they have a bunch of good items. I'm talking, listen, I don't know what you guys are into, double-sided dildos, okay? I mean, Hitachi. Every woman should get the Hitachi in her life, you know what I'm saying? Treat yourself is what I'm trying to say. You know, they also got, all kinds of lingerie, ergonomic pillows and stuff. You know how people have sex, like, oh, my back always paining me.
Mom.
Well, you can got something for that. They trying to help you out.
They trying to prop you up in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And if you act now, you also get the Big O kit. And everybody loves the Big O. Adam and Eve's Big O kit includes that exclusive climax gel, a mini vibrator as well. And in addition to all that, they give you free shipping. I mean, damn. What else are you waiting on? Okay? Get your thing right. So yeah, make sure you guys do that. It's, you know, it's only for a limited time. So get that new adult toy, that naughty movie, or almost anything else, and you go.
You know, you had your eyes on some things.
Mm-hmm. For 50% off. When you put in code TBGWT at adamandeve.com, free shipping and the Big O kit, which includes the climax gel and a mini vibrator. So get off. on through, D'Angelo. We don't know what you're saying. But it's dope. Mm-mm. Whatever it is. All right, all kinds of news and stuff going on in the world today, and I figured we would talk about it some. Okay. Also, a ton of racism. My God.
Oh, shit. Racism so on fleek?
So much racism. I don't even know where to start with all this racism.
Racism is sizzling.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about. Let's talk about some politics up front.
Okay.
Former Obama national security advisor said there's no doubt the ex-president should have done more to stop Russia hacks. This is the thing they've been trying to pin on Obama for a while, which is this idea that he should have basically known the future. He should have known Hillary Clinton was going to lose, even though every poll had her winning. He should have known that it didn't matter if Republicans were going to not support him, and it didn't matter if half the fucking country would have said he was rigging the election for Hillary Clinton by alleging Russia was hacking without enough evidence to really say what they were doing with the hacks.
And it ain't like he didn't go to Congress or Senate and they was like, fuck you, nigga, no, we ain't doing no investigation.
Here's the part that bothers me the most out of all this shit. Everybody knew,
right?
Of all the things to say, like, this is the weakest of the, like, I'm gonna go after Obama things, because there's things you can go after Obama on, sure. But of the things that go after him on, this is literally like grasping at straws for me. Because Hillary Clinton got on stage and told everybody, if you want to vote for a person that's a puppet of Russia, vote for this dude. You know, Barack Obama came out several times and discussed the fact that Russia was hacking us. There were all kinds of confirmation from security people that were like, hey, the DNC was hacked overseas from Russia. It's that thing with Americans where they can't, and it comes down to this all the time. This is, I know y'all get tired of me saying this. This is probably why I'm so cynical. It's probably why I'm so pragmatic about politics, and I don't really, like, I would not define myself as any level of a radical, is because I don't believe in people. This is people doing what people do, making a horrible decision and going back and going, I had nothing to do with me. Look, man, if he would have just said we was hacked, I would have known to vote for the right person. Like, you knew. All this shit was out there. None of this, all this information that's out, coming out now, it's not new information. It doesn't change anything. Mm-mm. It's all stuff that people knew and speculated about during the time. People just didn't give a fuck.
Correct.
You know, people still don't give a fuck. I asked on Twitter and Facebook, and y'all don't write in, because I asked and I got my answers, but I was like, what the fuck is this nothing burger shit that I keep hearing people talk about with Russia on the left? And it's this thing where they go, well, it's a nothing burger, nobody, like, they want to tie Trump to Russia, but there's nothing there, there's no, because they want to just pin it solely on Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and the left. They want it to be about the fact that Bernie Sanders should have been the nominee despite losing the fucking vote to Hillary Clinton in the primary. It's a nothing burger, no conspiracy, no nothing to see here, no ties to Russia at all, no nothing back door, nothing. And I'm like, that's America. Like, people that talk like that's America. Just these people that are like closing my eyes, putting my hands over my ears, I don't want to hear anything anybody else has to say, it's only this way because this is the way I feel. That's America too. And so this like revisionist history where Barack Obama knew Russia hacked the world, America did nothing, said nothing, and just went, oh well, that's the new wave, and that's just what it's gonna be. But he's not the first person to say this, but you know, this is a person that, you know, was selected by, you know, nominated by Barack Obama and still chose to say that. He said Obama was reluctant to hit back too hard against Russia despite the fact that Russia was attacking a fundamental element of our democracy, because he was worried that Republicans would accuse him of using national security apparatus for partisan gain, which also was later what the FBI actually did. You know, Comey, who's no longer employed, but yeah, that's exactly what he did later. And now he gets to be like, I'm everybody's biggest friend. I'm trying to take down Trump. And you're like, nah, you ensured there would be a Trump, you know? Donilon is the first top Obama administration official to go on public with his criticism of Obama handling on the Russian hacks. Although one anonymous former official told the Washington Post he felt as though the administration had choked in responding to the attacks. So, but yeah, I think that's interesting. An interesting way to view it and to try to go after. You know, I've also seen that level to Hillary Clinton too. Like, she didn't do enough to let us know that Russia was hacking. It's like, y'all knew that Russia hacked the DNC. Y'all knew that all the emails that were coming out, y'all, all that shit hacking came from Russia. You knew WikiLeaks was leaking shit in an agenda. Like, that's the other thing. When things were leaked, is it not coincidental that nothing of Trump's is leaked, nothing of the RNC is leaked, nothing of Bernie Sanders is leaked? Like, it's amazing. And I mean, the French shut the shit down before the election, because they were like, we don't want no bullshit hacking leaks, like, that people have to sort through the fucking data at the last minute to make a vote. Like, we don't want to deal with that. They even, like, they were more savvy because they, you know, saw what happened here. I think they even made up fake news to for the hackers to leak and be wrong, so they could be like, yep, we put that out just to confuse them.
Their law was like, I think so many hours before the election, like, just shut down.
Yeah,
like, that's a law over there.
Obama makes the second thing about Obama. Obama makes his official return to politics with the party for mega donors to fund redistricting drive for Dems. So, you know, Trump's in Paris. President Obama steps back into the spotlight because he's young. He's not retiring right away and shit. Which is one of the reasons I do feel like some Democrats feel like it's time to kind of take him down and make him, I don't know. It feels like they think they can knock his popularity, but it doesn't really matter what people think. The people that don't like him are very few and far between. No matter how vocal they are on the left or the right, there's not enough of them. He still is more popular than any other political candidate that is in the field, or any politician that's in the field. So he's going to have some say. And I actually appreciate what he's doing with this effort, because it's something that infuriates me about the Democratic Party and really the left, even Bernie Sanders and all them too, and even the Green Party. They don't talk about or do anything about voter suppression. They don't do anything about redistricting. It's the most of their talking points are about either Russia, or they're about working white middle class voters and who just feel passionate and need to be catered to. Barack Obama comes back to the scene, and the first thing is like, what do we do to redistrict this shit? Because we know that that's how Republicans are winning these elections. They're just putting the black vote and the young vote into these quadrants where they can hurt them the least. And he's like, we have to raise money to fight that effort. He will appear alongside his former Attorney General Eric Holder, who's chairing the effort, the House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat California. According to Politico, the closed door event will take place at a private DC residence. Reporters are not invited to attend.
Right, fuck y'all.
The issue of redistricting or I don't care if they attend or not, to be honest, but you know, the issue of redistricting or gerrymandering when it's done in a more sinister fashion will be Obama's primary concern in his post-presidency. According to Holder, who talked about the Democrats' effort in January to the New York Times shortly before Obama left office, he thinks, and I think, that this is something that threatens our democracy, Holder told the newspaper. We have a system now where the politicians are picking their voters, as opposed to voters making selections about who they want to represent them. The Democrats plan to challenge the current map in three ways, according to the group's website. They'll look to down ballot races in states where legislators draw the maps. They'll put money toward legal challenges, and they'll work to put ballot initiatives on the ballots in states that where it's permitted. A ballot initiative was used in California, for instance, to create a commission made up of 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans and 4 commissioners from neither major party to redraw the districts. In many states, whichever party has a majority of the state legislature holds the ball. Obama received the brunt of the blame for Democrats' deep losses, especially at the state level during his 8 years in the White House. He also had to contend with an entrenched Republican House following the 2010 midterm elections. Both those points likely compelled the ex-president to take this issue on. The Thursday evening affair will mark the first truly political event that Obama has participated in since leaving the White House in January. Since then, Obama has traveled the world on several family vacations while giving occasional speeches. He's been a critic of Trump's, though he has often expressed his concerns in a low-key way. For instance, when Trump announced he was pulling out of the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement in June, Obama released a statement knocking the administration for rejecting the future. Obama said that in the absence of American leadership, states, cities, and businesses would step up. Obama is also expected to hit the campaign trail in the fall to support Virginia's Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ralph Northam, Northam, in a purple state race that will be closely watched. Although these off-year races don't necessarily predict the party's strength going into the midterms, after a string of losses, Democrats will take what they can get, likely billing it as a good sign if Northam beats Republican Ed Gillespie. In a former chairman to the of the Republican National Committee and once prominent DC lobbyist. So yeah, he's, I guess, using his ground game. We'll see what happens.
In my opinion, which is what they don't want. It's like, and it's sad, but it's like everybody's afraid of Obama. Like, you got the Republicans going, fuck that nigga. You got the Democrats going, fuck that nigga, because, hey, the money that these big donors is giving to them, they could get us. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so popular that no matter what they do or what they say, they can't knock his popularity. Like, and I think that frightens him, because whoever he goes through and picks and decide, hey, this is whoever up and coming, because he's probably going to have a few people that are going to be up and coming. They're frightened because they go, well, if Obama put his stamp of approval on it, I'm in trouble.
Right. Yeah, we'll see.
Y'all need to be doing something.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, because, I mean, this is the kind of shit that endears people to him and not some of these other politicians that claim to want the black vote and shit. Because redistricting is huge for this, and voter suppression are the major two issues, in my opinion, that should have been handled coming out of 2016. Everybody's talking about other shit. You know, Hillary Clinton is talking about the sexism and misogyny and shit that lost her the election, in her opinion. And I mean, I agree with her. I do think that's what really lost it for her. But, you know, it's still not voter suppression. It's still not redistricting. It's still not, you know, the idea of who can vote and how it disproportionately affects black people and shit. Like, it's still not that. So, and I, like I said, I don't really care for any leadership that's talking about other shit right now.
Nope.
It just doesn't, none of it lands with me. I'm not saying it doesn't land with other black people and other folks in general. Bernie's talking tours, they don't land with me. They mean nothing to me. You know, oh, look, it's me and Dennis Kucinich or whatever the fuck that dude's name is.
I don't give a fuck.
We gonna be talking in a town hall tonight. I'm like, none of that matters to anybody, dog. Like, maybe... yeah, like, how about something that, like, instead of talking about how Trump voters aren't bad, how about you talk about how we get my vote to count? Anyway, Miss South Africa has sparked a fury when she wore gloves to meet orphans who have HIV as she served them soup.
What?
Yeah, she wore gloves. And apparently it caused a lot of internet backlash.
I know it did. How does she think it spread?
She has sparked fury after she was pictured handing out food to orphans with HIV while wearing gloves. Demi Lynn Nell Peters, who is mixed race, strongly denied these claims that, you know, because they accused her of racism from angry people on social media after the image of the charity event in Johannesburg emerged.
Oh yeah, visually that doesn't look good.
Yeah, she said, look, I'm not racist. She said she wore the gloves for hygiene reasons because she was handling food. It came after she was criticized online with people claiming she was afraid to touch the children with disease at the soup kitchen, or she was wearing gloves to touch black children. One Twitter user wrote, someone balance me real quick. Why is Miss South Africa wearing gloves? Were the gloves necessary? Please explain. Another wrote, not convinced you deserve to be Miss South Africa feeding orphans wearing gloves, i.e. shame. But in the video message released on Twitter, she said that her intentions were misread and she apologized for any offense that may have been caused. She said, I just want to clear something up. All the volunteers on the site wore gloves because we were told it was the right thing to do while working with food, and we were handing out food to young kids. That was our only intention with wearing gloves, to be as hygienic as possible. I really feel that my intentions were completely misunderstood. To me, the moral of the story is that 300 kids got a proper warm lunch, and they got that with or without the gloves. So I am a bit sad my intentions were taken completely wrong, and I can apologize if I offended anybody. So then it started a Miss SA challenge hashtag on Twitter, and people started taking pictures of themselves doing shit in gloves. Black people the same all over the world.
Yeah, they is. They really will find a joke at anything.
They really turned it into a roast off of a misunderstanding. It seems like a misunderstanding, at least
now,
in my opinion.
Now, that's a misunderstanding. Visually it looks bad, but that's a misunderstanding.
Also, like, what a lot of people don't know is that you're more dangerous with your diseases and germs to these kids than they are to you.
Yeah, because they're immune system isn't as strong as yours.
Yeah, like maybe people feel bad or something or feel awkward about it, but the truth of the matter is, if you're making food for kids that have autoimmune diseases or have HIV, they're more susceptible to your shit. Your shit could kill them, not the other way around,
right?
Really.
You don't want to make them sick.
Yeah, it's not like y'all are shaking hands with blood coming out of it or some shit. Like, this is just a matter of it literally could be about the kids. I think, you know, it just looked bad,
right?
And people don't give a fuck. But yeah, this person said hashtag Miss USA challenge was at work, Miss SA challenge was at work minding my own business, but then I remember hygiene first, and she typing on a keyboard with plastic gloves. Another person used oven mitts to wash their a load of laundry. Let me do some laundry, get in on the hygiene challenge car, Miss SA. Miss SA challenge hashtag. Another person used gloves to make themselves a hot drink. It's like nothing, everything serious on Twitter and nothing serious,
right?
You know, that's pretty funny.
But it don't matter what language you speak, they were like, oh, we got a roast going on.
Republicans in several states are lowering the minimum wage. Right, you heard that, lowering the minimum wage. With the political world focused on the healthcare battle, Republicans in at least four states seek to cut wages, while journalists and political junkies are focused on the latest implosion of the GOP effort to repeal Obamacare and gut Medicaid. Conservatives in several states have been working to decrease the minimum wage that businesses can pay for to their workers. In Missouri, Republicans just passed a law overturning a local measure passed by the city of St. Louis that had raised the minimum wage to $10 an hour. The new law will prohibit counties and cities within Missouri from creating their own minimum wage laws. It will also roll back the St. Louis minimum hourly wage to the statewide floor of $7.70. Notably, Governor Eric Greitens, a Republican, refused to sign the law, even though he spoke out in favor of it. Under the Missouri Constitution, bills passed by both houses of the state assembly automatically become law. In a news conference June 30th, he focused on procedural objections to the bill. He faulted the Republican-controlled Senate for utilizing the procedural loophole to block a Democratic filibuster of the measure, which had prevented it from being voted on until the final day of the chamber's legislative session. They do some shady shit, boy. I disapprove of the way politicians handled this, he said. That's why I won't be signing my name to their bill. The governor's refusal to sign the law was interpreted as an act of cowardice by some Democrats. Signing it would have shown the fact that he is heartless and that he really doesn't care about the working poor, said Senator Jamila Nasheed. So what he didn't want to do is sign a bill to take money out of the pockets of those who already have an increase, but still do so. During the Senate delay, the city ordinance went into effect on May 5th. It's unclear how many local businesses will reduce their employees' wages to $7.70 after paying a higher rate of $10. Missouri is not the only state where Republican elected officials have successfully targeted minimum wage laws. Until recently, such an action seemed like a conservative pipe dream, thanks to years-long hollowing out of the Democratic Party in rural and ex-urban areas. However, right-wing politicians have become able to pursue policies that were once impossible. Welcome to North Carolina. The GOP effort in Missouri came on the heels of an earlier success in March when Iowa Republicans managed to roll back mandatory pay increases passed by local jurisdictions. It was the first time such a law had ever been passed, according to the National Employment Law Project, a liberal nonprofit group that supports higher minimum wage laws. Iowa did it. Kentucky advocates for lowering minimum wage have also had success using lawsuits. In October, Kentucky Supreme Court overturned a 2014 Louisville ordinance that would have raised the city's minimum wage to $9 an hour. This is amazing, because like as much as they talk about states' rights and local politicians and shit, in a city, if you go, hey, we would like the people in our city to make a higher living wage.
Right.
Because it costs more to live in those cities.
Mm-hmm. Especially the larger cities.
They come in and smash it down. And what's amazing is that even in these red states, and it's one of the reasons that I get supremely upset at some of the liberal people that shit on like the South, like we don't have any Democrats down here. Like, we don't live here, too. Like, we don't, you know, like, we're not fighting this fight, too. Anyway, the liberal people are normally in cities. Like, normally where there's, because that's where you have more different races. You'd have more people fighting for gender equality. That's where your LGBTQ folks normally go, mm-hmm. to major cities and shit like that. And they rule normally more closer to, more to the left. And so they do things like, hey, like in Charlotte, hey, look, we don't want a law where a person has to go to the bathroom of their gender. They can use whatever bathroom they want. We also raise the minimum wage here when that happened. And what happens, North Carolina, the state, all these rural red cities and towns and smaller people.
They have any secret fucking meetings overnight and shit.
Right. All these like bigots and shit come together and they push back. And that's how you end up with states where it's like, wow, what's happening down there? Seattle passed this law, but then Washington State changed this. Now, that's a bad example because it's, you know, more liberal up there. But still, in general, that's what's happening to a lot of these places. You know, Louisville passes something like, let's, you know, help people out, you know. And the thing is, I think it's motivated by race because, like I said, these cities are where the black and brown people are.
Right.
So it's like, oh, that brown person living in Louisville is going to be making more per hour than me living in Hicktown, USA, and I'm white. Hell no. We got to strip that down. We got to take that back. So, yeah, man. They are literally lowering minimum wage state by state.
Yeah, because the thing is, what people fail to realize, actually they don't want to pay people. Let's just keep that real. The foundation of this country is off of free labor. When you fight against minimum wage and you lower wages to minimum wage, you actually saying, nigga, if we could go lower, we would. If your ass could come and work for pennies or we can exchange cows, we would. That's what the fuck you're saying. You don't care about the people, because the long run is this. It does not benefit anybody. You lower buying power. You decrease GDP in the area. Like, this affects a lot of shit. People can't purchase things. They can't buy things. They can't go out to eat. They can't go out to movies. You decrease spending power when you do this. People become homeless. People lose their vehicles. Like, people can't go grocery shopping. Like, you affect a lot of shit from making these laws. Some people are barely making it, because truth be told, $10 an hour ain't shit. But you get taxed in certain parts of this country, you can't survive. $10 an hour in certain parts of the country, you are actually in poverty.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we got here. Terrified EasyJet passengers left so frightened one vomited when a pilot told them there was only a 50-50 chance of both engines working. Horrified passengers in jet flight were left so frightened one vomited when a pilot told them there's a 50-50 chance of both engines working. The stunned holidaymakers were on the tarmac at Malaga Airport in Spain when the captain asked for a vote of whether or not they would like to remain on the plane or get off.
Oh, I'm off, nigga.
Passengers say the unnamed pilot told them there was a high chance that only one engine would be working.
You ain't gonna kill me up in the sky.
That's a little too easy on that EasyJet for me, okay?
Come on.
EasyJet said the pilot was asking passengers if they wanted to get off the plane while the issue was fixed, and stressed that under no circumstances would a pilot attempt to fly with one engine, but the news, which came after the flight had already been delayed for 40 hours, was too alarming for some passengers who were thrown into a panic. The tourists were supposed to fly to Bristol on Thursday, but did not board the plane until Saturday. Damn.
Wow. I have canceled all your plans for several days.
A 3-day delay? Holy shit. Still at the boarding gate, the pilot came out of the cockpit to explain the situation and ask for a show of hands. The passenger eventually flew back on a replacement aircraft later that day. Passenger Terry Hill said, he said we could stay on the plane. We'd been on it waiting for an hour at this point and been in Malaga for 2 nights extra already, and he'd see if we would be allowed to get off again. At this point, there was a bit of mutiny on the plane, an awful lot of shouting and people crying and demanding to get off.
Right.
There were about 12 people that wanted to stay on, but the rest of us wanted to get off. Mother of four, Gemma, who...
You and that pilot all die together.
Yeah. I guess they just wanted to wait it out while they repaired it.
Oh, just wait on the plane while they repaired it.
Yeah, that's... show of hands. How many people want to... there's a 50-50 chance that one engine be working. How many people want to stay on the plane? How many people say no? And then just a bunch of people, get me the fuck off of this shit.
No, it went to a ruckus.
Throwing up, looking like fucking airplane.
pulling, beating each other up, trying to pull that shit off of the overhead.
Right. Yeah, that's wild, man. Make a decision. Just tell us to get off the plane, dog. That's
right.
That's a lot.
You didn't even have to tell us that.
Indiana Republican apologizes sort of for a pro-gun how not to be a rape victim Facebook post. I'm sure that went well. Doesn't that always go good, guys? It's a thing you want to do. A Republican state lawmaker for, of course, a man. Because, you know, men just, they know so much about how not to be raped. You know, how men are experts in that, being that we make up most of the people that are doing the raping. A Republican state lawmaker from Indiana's 69th district is apologizing after posting a copy of a letter he wrote to the Indianapolis Star newspaper telling women that if they are armed with guns, it can mitigate their chances of being violently assaulted. However, the state representative blamed his critics for twisting his words and insisted women need to share the responsibility for preventing rapes. It's like we both raped it's like we both participated in your rape.
So okay, I got a gun now. What, he beat me then shoot me?
Take some responsibility. You don't have a gun. You didn't have a gun, so this is like both of us are in on this rape together. That's his point. That is essentially what he is saying.
No, he
still has a job. He doesn't have to resign. That's not something you can be impeached for. On Saturday, Representative Jim Lucas offered a lukewarm apology letter saying he was getting publicly excoriated for hijacking a discussion on sexual assault to push his pro-gun agenda. Last week, responding to a June 4th article about an assault survivor in the Star, Lucas, who believes that licenses should not be required to carry concealed weapons, uploaded photos he'd taken of a handwritten letter to the newspaper saying, "Women who own guns are learning how not to be a victim." You know, another part that's interesting with this is, you know, he's talking just about white women.
Of course.
Like, it's still fucked up no matter who you're talking about, but.
Right.
You know, in his mind, just the same way that I guarantee this dude didn't have shit to say about Philando Castile.
Mm-mm.
You know? Because all you're talking about is a license to carry a concealed weapon or not. That's it. He's saying you shouldn't have to have a license to do it. You should just be able to have a concealed weapon. Somehow he got from that to, and also if women don't have guns, they're kind of be raped. What does that say about men that you as a man think an unarmed woman is essentially responsible partially for her sexual assault.
A lot of men feel like that.
Right, but what does that say about men? Like, we always skip to women. Like, what does it say about women? What does it say about every fucking man on this planet, if you think that? What does that say?
You ain't shit, dog.
You know what I mean? Because then you're going to turn around and get mad if women say something bad about men. It's going to be World War VII. But what does it say when we accept the idea that an unarmed woman is essentially liable to some extent for her sexual assault? Anyway, do the math. An official Indiana House of Representatives letterhead, he wrote, after reading your front page article on Sunday in the Sunday Star about the tragedy of rape, it would be nice to see a follow-up article about the thousands of huge women that are taking steps and learning how not to be a victim. Angry protests flooded post comments section, sending Lucas into a days-long fit of defiant self-pity, lamenting the hatred directed at him for suggesting that women who have been raped only have themselves to blame but for not owning a gun. He blamed his critics for overreacting to what he insists was just a suggestion offered to women in the spirit of helpfulness.
Did nobody ask for your fucking suggestion?
Could have said nothing, dog.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, people love to do that too, where it's like, dude, we absolutely know exactly what you said, and there's a reason a lot of people are mad. Like, there's like, sometimes people will say something, and this is a good rule of thumb, if like it's a couple people mad, I'm like, okay, yeah, that, you know, for the most part people understood what this person was saying, and these handful of people are willfully taking it out of context to try to like get, you know, to score a point in the argument or to make them look bad. They just don't like that motherfucker. That happens all the time. When it's most people looking at you going, what the fuck? When it's a big ass outpouring of people that are mad, you fucked up, dog. Like, it ain't a misunderstanding. That's you. That's what you said. That's why people are mad. You're not the victim in this. This isn't you and one person. This isn't you said something and 1,000 people heard it, but 5 people got mad. No, nigga. Everybody mad. It's you. I've been publicly excoriated over my recent attempt to bring light to this subject, educate people on the subject. They always think they're educating somebody. What was educational about what you said? What statistics did you use? What? On the subject, what they can do to empower themselves to mitigate their chances of being violently assaulted. I use the word victim, which has been used for centuries and has a plainly worded dictionary definition, and was used in the headline of the Indy Star, yet I was claimed as victim blaming. If it went downhill from there, well, you were victim blaming, and you literally text with definition. Yeah, if someone says that person's a victim of sexual assault, they're not victim blaming. If you say that person's a victim of sexual assault because they didn't wear the right clothes that night, you are victim blaming. See how those are both using the term victim? Now, I know some people prefer survivor, but that's the reason that the article wasn't called victim blaming and used the word victim, and your ass was, because you was actually victim blaming. It's not that complicated, I don't think. Lucas wrote that he spoke to the author of the Indiana Star article, and we both grew and gained from this, but that there are others who would rather just hate for what I wrote. Yeah, I'd like to hear their side of it. Yeah, we both really learned a lot from each other in that conversation. I wonder if they would say that. The author that article probably was like, if you don't get off my phone.
Come on.
If my words appeared insensitive, it was certainly unintentional. And he insisted that the onus on preventing rapes be taken off of boys and men and shared equally between attackers and their victims. People are demanding that we educate boys and men about respecting women and teach them that rape is bad, yet this episode shows how those who do try to discuss a sensitive issue can have their words twisted and get attacked. Of course, men, the real victims of women being sexually assaulted.
Yeah, and like I said, and I know when I say this, you know, people think I'm irrational and illogical, but when you say shit like this, my first question is, are you a rapist?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I don't care. Are you a rapist? No, but then what the fuck are you talking about?
That's the thing. Nobody is a rapist, right? Like, everybody, like, all these people got stories about being sexually assaulted, but no men have stories about sexually assaulting anyone. Even though we know that quite often people who are sexually assaulted don't file charges. Those people, when they do file charges, those people do not go to jail, quite often. They're not, it's very difficult to convict someone of a sexual assault in a he said she said thing. Often sexual assault occurs between people that you know and trust. So I'm real, when I hear a story of a dude talking about the time that he was accused, I often think like, you might have did it, you know? Like, why should I assume that you didn't do it? Because you telling me about it? Because like I said, I would like to hear their side of the story and how this happened. Because it's like, we have to assume at this point that no men are going to come out and say they did this shit. That's just what it is, you know? So when people just start throwing out like, you know, I don't believe these bitches because I was accused of rape, I'm like, the way you talk about women, the shit you say, I don't know, accused of or did, you know? Like, just like, how I'm supposed to trust you? Listen to how you talk. Anyway, he said, is there any wonder that people don't want to discuss this issue and it remains off limits? Yeah, there's a reason that you shouldn't be discussing this, and that's because you're apologizing for rapists and blaming victims. So how is that hard to understand? I don't know.
It's not.
Amelia Clark says, oh well, actually, you know what, this can actually count for our next segment. Might as well start fucking with black people now. I was about to read it in the regular news and I was like, actually, you know what, it's fucking with me.
Oh yeah, I'm already fucking with me. Everybody get home.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to talk about the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles make us feel fucked with. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Hey. All right. Let's get into it. Amelia Clark, who you may know from Game of Thrones, she's the Khaleesi. Mm-hmm. Daenerys. Targaryen. She says, sexism is like dealing with racism. Amelia Clark, last time I checked, is a white woman. She recently spoke out about what it's like to be a woman in Hollywood with what some might consider a pretty eyebrow-raising comparison. While speaking to the Rolling Stone, the Game of Thrones actors rattled off some of the ways female actresses are treated differently from their male counterparts. Amelia pointed out that women often have fewer lines than their male co-stars, even when they are cast in a leading role, or that they have to be on set for longer hours than the guys because of hair and makeup. Amelia went on to claim that this kind of sexism is like dealing with racism. She explains, you're aware of it, but one day you go, oh my God, it's everywhere. Like, you suddenly wake up to it and you go, wait a fucking second, are you treating me differently because I got a pair of tits? Is that actually happening? It took me a really long time to see that I do get treated differently, but I look around and that's my daily life. What do you think, Karen?
It's not the same.
Okay. I don't think
they could be comparison, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same. Because these problems you got, imagine having them problems and being called a nigga. And, you know, coming in there and they not knowing what the fuck to do with your hair or have your ass looking at.
I didn't say do that. This autoplay is killing me. Anyway,
it's not the same. And you speaking like that and you making those comparisons shows your privilege. Let's just keep that wrong. It literally shows your, in my opinion, it shows your privilege to want to make those comparisons. Because there's nothing wrong with saying that women are not treated right and women are not treated equally. Okay, yeah. I understand that. But once you say that is the same as racism, you put it like this, if you say it, you need to have foundation, explain. You can't be like, oh, it's the same. It's not.
I find it interesting because she never said it was the same. She said it's like dealing with racism. So I personally agree with her, you know. Now
some parallels. Yes,
here's the thing, she's white, she don't know what racism feels like. Mm-mm. I'm a man, I don't know what sexism feels like. You're the only one that knows what both of those things feel like combined. So what she says is like, I think that's kind of the way I view the world. Like, one of the reasons that I kind of see certain like things through certain lenses, because I look at my life and I go, okay, this is how being black has affected me, you know. And then I look at things, I'm like, so being a woman, while not the same, I can see how that would be fucked up, you know what I mean? Like, how must it feel to be a woman and have to watch TV and see three men talk about rape and no women in the panel and no women to talk about it at all, right?
Correct.
Well, that's how much, I'm just saying, comparatively, it must be what I, the same way I feel when I see CNN bring on three white people to talk about racism. You know what I mean? So I think there is a like to it. You know, there is a, this is like that. This is like, now, I just think the way she described it sounded
like she was comparing them.
I mean, but here's what I'm saying. The way she described it is not my understanding of how I feel about racism. Like, this whole I woke up to it, your life must be pretty fucking good to wake up to it now. That's the only thing. You know what I mean? Like, racism is something that black kids wake up to. We, like, you get that wake up call so fucking early. You don't even get to be a kid and all. Like, sometimes you're just like, why am I being treated different? I'm in the same kindergarten as these other kids, but somehow the teacher singles me out. Somehow I'm considered bad. I'm the one in detention. We just get that call so much earlier in life, and our parents do so much to try to protect us from that in different cases and prepare us for that in other ways. But like, the idea of being like, I wasn't really up on this sexism thing until I was working in Hollywood and I realized this shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
That's the only part of it that seems weird to me, because I just don't think most black people are not going to have that experience. Most black people will tell you, no. I was aware of racism and how it was clearly affecting my life differently than other people from a very young age, and not, once I got on set, I was like, hold up. I don't got as many lines as the white people. You know, I don't think that's how it happens for us.
Right. And I think that my thing too, just gonna keep this real, and my insecurities, you're a white woman talking and you say this is like racism. And when you say like, I hear the same. I'm like, bitch, it ain't the same. It is not the same. You just woke up. From the time I am born, I don't just wake up to this. So yes, there are parallels, but bitch, you're talking about apples and oranges in the reality of this, in my mind. Like in my mind, this is my insecurity coming out when I'm talking about this, you know, because for you to say that, people go like, oh, so you trying to say that being a white woman in Hollywood, just not realizing shit is fucked up, it's like being a black person waking up every day realizing the shit's fucked up. It's not the same. They do have parallels, but they're not the same.
Yeah, like I said, you're the only one that can speak on it from both perspectives. I don't have both perspectives.
Yeah,
but.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, her choice of words are the problem I have. I'm gonna say it like that. I do understand what she's saying. Mm-hmm. But when you say certain things and you phrase certain things in certain ways, people hear certain things, particularly coming from a white woman's mouth talking about race.
Here's how I view it too. If you look at her word choice, what she's saying is, I woke up to seeing racism later in life, because she didn't have that experience. She's white.
True.
Like, listen to how she worded it. You're aware of it. Like, she, keep in mind, she's talking about racism and sexism at the same time, right? Not saying they're equal, talking about her realization of them existing and affecting people's lives. You're aware of it, but one day you go, oh my God, it's everywhere. So she's like, in my opinion, that sounds like a white person going, oh shit, this racism shit is why I've never had to consider it, because it doesn't affect my life.
Right.
This racism shit is in everything, you know, whether it's, you know, the privilege I have, all this shit, the my friends that are affected by it and all that stuff. But you're also a person who typically is a person that pushes it out. Like, you're a producer of it. You exist in it, but you're also a person that benefits from it. You're also a person that you know will that can do something racist and shit like that. I think that's how she sounds. Like, she's speaking from both perspectives almost, as the person that is the I'm unaware because I'm an agent of white supremacy as well. Like, I mean, and also in sexism, she's like, and I became aware of sexism because I'm looking at it the same way. Like, one day I just go, oh my god, it's affecting everything, it's deeper than I thought. I had always had like a understanding of like racism exists, sexism exists. I didn't think about, I spend 12 hours on set and Jon Snow sends 8. I didn't think about it, if we have a scene together in a script, I get 13 lines and Jon Snow gets 17 lines. Like, I never looked at it that way. She's kind of waking up to it in a way, and she's been afforded that privilege to be able to wake up to it later. I just don't think, at least with race, which is the one of these that I definitely understand, I definitely ain't have no grace period of being like, I'm 25, racism is real, one day I realize it's everywhere. Like, you know, I knew that shit the time I bit a kid's finger in fucking kindergarten. Like, that kid put his finger in my face and called me names, and then put his finger in my mouth and was like, because I said, if you put your finger in my mouth, if you put your finger in my face, I'm gonna fucking bite it. And he kept doing it, and until I bit his finger and I got in trouble, you know. And like, but it's that thing where it's like, I became aware of how when the teacher reacted to me, she reacted in a way that was like, I was a fucking animal, you know what I mean? And that's when I was like, oh, this is different. I've seen other kids misbehave, I've seen other kids fight people, and it wasn't like this. Like, this, so I became aware at whatever, 5, 6 or something. That's the kind of thing that I think is different in this, is I can't imagine, like, maybe you can go through your life and be that privileged as a black person or even a white person, but I can't imagine coming to that so late in life and being like, it's everywhere, y'all. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, because like I said, you actually have to be in a privileged spot to even get there, and I think that's my thing. Because you're in a privileged spot, and like everybody, you only see things through your eyes, so you can't perceive or fathom somebody else's experience. So, you know, I do understand what she's saying, and yes, there are some parallels. I'm not knocking that at all. I do think the choice of words should have been different, because a lot of people use like, and they really don't mean like. They mean, I'm comparing the two things, you know, instead of just saying, I think they're the same. People use that word like in there to substitute for, I think that they're the same.
All right, that's interesting, because it's funny, I would probably, if I was asked about certain shit, I would probably phrase it the opposite way. You see what I'm saying? Like, if somebody said, what do you think, depending on who I'm trying to relate to, because I do that all the time. I use what people have. Like, if I'm talking to a white woman that doesn't get something about race, I will be like, well, what is the analogy set in a sexism sense, in a misogyny sense? Can you relate to that? For example, if I say, look, the police stopped me the other day and I know they stopped me because I'm black, and the white woman goes, well, how do you know that someone did a crime, you weren't just fitting the description, da 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 da. And I'm like, I know because I'm black, and I know because I've experienced this, da 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 da, right? And she just doesn't get it. Then I can be like, okay, have you ever had somebody, like a dude, beep his horn at you while you're walking down the street? And it's like, yeah, I've had that happen. It's like, okay, it's typically sexual harassment, street harassment, something like that, right? How do you know that, if I started going, how do you know that you don't look like a friend of his? How do you know that, you would be like, the fuck you mean? I don't know this nigga, and I know because I'm a woman. I done had the horn beeped at me by strangers enough to know that it's just some dude with his dick in his hand. That, like, it, so is that, I can work within the analogies because that's how I see life. But at the same time, I can understand how, if I were to say, if I were to work at it the backwards angle, which is to be like, well, you know, it's, what is it like dealing with racism? Well, it's like dealing with sexism. One day you wake up and you realize everybody's sexist, and people will be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like I said, it's just, you have to flip it. You talk about what you do know rather than talk about what you don't know, because she don't know what racism is, like, not personally. She don't know how to navigate that world, because you don't, the thing she doesn't understand about racism is you don't get the luxury of getting to be 26 and then go for most people,
come on, you know, it's a lot of things are stripped from a very, very early age. You know, children are taught, you know, to be quote unquote politically correct, even though parents think they're teaching their children these things for their safety, you also teaching children politically correct, like, don't wear sneakers in grocery stores. I'm just telling the things I've heard. Don't wear sneakers in grocery stores. You know, things like, you know, when you're in public, don't be running because somebody gonna think you stole something. You know, and people don't really think about these things, but a lot of people kind of drill this into their children at a very, 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 very young age. And it makes the children look around and be like, well, other children are allowed to do these things, but I have to sit here and keep quiet and shut up and quote unquote behave when I look at these other children. And children aren't stupid. They will realize that there is a difference. And I understand even some of the best of parents do this quote unquote the safety. Even little things like, hey, if you have something in your hand, put it in my pocketbook when we go into the store, because I don't want nobody to accuse you of stealing. Well, ain't nothing but candy. You don't understand. You doing this will cause all of us to end up going to jail.
Right.
You know.
And you can't help but, as a black woman, to go there regardless of what she says. Like I said, this is why black men are a bridge. You see what I'm saying? Because, like, my experience, I don't have the instant flash of, like, anger at this, because I'm like, oh yeah, I have to navigate the world sometimes like this, by making comparisons, because I don't know what it's like to be LGBTQ. I get mad when I see certain shit is unfair.
Me too.
But I won't pretend to know what it feels like. I don't know what it feels like.
Correct.
You know, I think she did the disservice of the way she described it, making it seem like she knows what racism feels like.
Right.
She don't. You know. Anyway, 0 to 100.
That's why I rebut, because it's one of the things where I'm like, I understand what you're saying, and I comprehend what you're saying. Words mean things, and choices of words and how you phrase them and put them together mean things. And particularly when you are in the world where everybody kind of scrutinizes and looks at you certain ways and things like that, you know, it's one of these things where I do understand what you're saying. I think it should have been phrased differently, because it was phrased the way it was phrased. And when me and my insecurities come to the, I'm not trying to lie, I heard the same.
Yeah, I mean, this is why our show's so dope. You know, I didn't even, I thought this was a 60 second. Oh. When I saved this article, I was like, we'll talk about this for 6 seconds and move to the next story. But yeah, there's a lot of shit at play when you say shit like that. So I'm assuming you'll be boycotting Game of Thrones.
Not sure. Will not.
I give it 100 just because it fucked with you. I don't, you know, I was.
Because the thing is, there's a lot of white folks that fuck up that can perform and act. Because if that's the case, there's a lot of shit that people watch that they wouldn't watch. If your favorite person keep fucking up and you be like, I'm not going to watch that TV show, what the hell are y'all going to be watching?
Yeah, I give it 100 because it fucked with you. I felt like it was a 50 or a 25, but I don't know. After seeing that reaction, now it seemed like 100 to me.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of it had to do with phrasing, and a lot of it had to do with my initial response to
no, it's just what fun, I heard. It's funny. It's just funny because, not funny, ha ha.
Right.
It's just, that's just how life is. Like, I remember reading this whole article and being like, I mean, she said, like, it's a comparison. She obviously don't know what the fuck racism feels like, so... I mean, she's saying it from the perspective of a person that benefits from it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, but I also, as a man, benefit from sexism and misogyny sometimes. You know, if you get deeper into it, it's really detrimental for men to have these quote unquote advantages, and it really hurts men in general. But you know, men fucking set that system up. Anyway. The point being, I just remember thinking to myself, like, Yeah, I wouldn't have said it that way, but I see what she's saying, that any level of privilege is comparable to some other type of privilege. It just ain't the same, but yes, it's like dealing with two different, you know. She could have said it's like being gay, could have said it's like this. The problem was she don't know what the fuck one of those is. So
yeah, and that becomes
so that
problem.
That's why you get the 100. All right. Get out, niggers. Immigrant doctors awaken to Trump-fueled racist graffiti on South Carolina home. Friday, a Nigerian-American couple awoke to find graffiti that evoked both a racial slur and the name of the president in the driveway of their house, where they lived for 18 years.
Yeah, don't say. They've had the same neighbors for all fucking 18 years.
According to the Charlotte Observer, Tox and Ayotunde Ayodele told two Nigerian immigrants who share a physician practice in Rock Hill, South Carolina. How many white people have come in there to get some shit done?
Come on.
In 2017, you don't expect that, they said, and they woke up to this schism on their driveway. The Tox, the 64-year-old wife of the couple, told Observer, "We're a couple that minds our business. We help people in the neighborhood any way that we can. It makes you wonder and doubt if people are really true and genuine with us. In 18 years, I've never felt not wanted," Tox told the local news channel WCNC. "Trump, get out, niggers," the graffiti in the driveway read. Ayodele said that although they've been recipients of racism before, nothing compared to that graffiti, and that the use of the president's name was telling. Yeah, wonder what that means. Must be a coincidence. Yep, yeah. Some reason just more racist shit has happened since November, and nobody can put a finger on why.
Nobody.
If only Obama would have said Russia hacked America, all the racist people would have said, "Oh, for real." I had almost been racist, but you had said, and now I know better.
Don't you fall for that trap.
When people think that they can use the president to pass bigotry on to you, it says a lot about where we are, that people are counting on that to show hatred to their neighbor. The couple reported the incident to the police, who advised them to install a camera to catch the person responsible if they come back. Of course, because we ain't gonna catch them.
It's your responsibility.
They also told them that beyond filing a report, there wasn't much they could do. After the incident, the couple's neighborhood helped them document the graffiti and offered emotional support. "If we remain silent and do nothing, we're as guilty as the hateful person who wrote this message," neighbor Bonnie Walsh wrote in a post on social network Nextdoor documenting the racist vandalism. "We must actively resist hatred towards our neighbors." 0 to 100. 100. Yep, 100. My thing is, what if it wasn't racism? Has anybody thought about that?
What the hell was it then?
It could have been another black person in the neighborhood telling them to go see the movie Get Out. Think about it.
Trump ain't in Get Out.
Get out, niggas, because of Trump. See what I'm saying? Go see. Get it on Blu-ray. It comes out. It came out on Blu-ray. Get out, niggas. It's the Trump make you want to see that movie. Maybe. Nope. No, okay, disagree.
I'm not, nope.
I'm just presenting another possibility, Karen. That's all.
You and your alternative facts.
I didn't say it was a fact. This is just a theory. Okay? I'm just presenting, okay, all the sides, okay?
Mm-mm, I don't want that side.
Okay, well, speaking of sides, a white beauty blogger is, we got to see both sides for her. She's being called racist for the Twitch challenge.
What's a chocolate challenge?
Her name is Vika Chappell. She is facing her harsh criticisms online in response to a racially insensitive game she attempted to start on YouTube and has since apologized. In a photo posted to her Instagram, the white blogger and her friend cover half their faces with chocolate to deepen the color of their skin. Although Chappell referred to it as the chocolate challenge, people have been calling it out as eating blackface. So they make up half their face look like a black woman. And of course, you know, the other half of the face is just their regular white self. Is it showing up in the chat?
Not yet.
Oh shit. Okay. Publishing took too long. Give me a second, guys. I'll see if I can get it on screen this time. You have to see the pictures to believe this shit. It is truly something, I need the chat room to see. So give me a second to bring it up. There we go.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they look like Neapolitan ice cream.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. That do look like that ice cream.
Don't they? With the chocolate on one side. And they did the neck. They went all the way down to the neck. White people have no fucking bounds with this blackface shit. I just don't understand. Is it... What's so appealing about the blackface, man? It must be me that don't understand, because every year we cover dozens and dozens of incidents of white people being like, I have to paint my face and act black. The dude at the church, like, it's just how every Halloween, it's just they can't leave it alone. It's not like you're gonna get rich doing, no one's like,
right,
oh girl, did you see what that white woman did? Yeah, she painted her face black, girl. Ooh, we better hire her for our campaign. Like, everybody's like, what? If you want to show off your work and how you do black skin and how great your shit, maybe get a model and do a black woman's makeup and then take a picture of her face.
Come on.
You know, if you want to show how your special effects are, maybe make up your face like a zombie. You know, maybe a celebrity that's not black. Like, no one gets rewarded for doing this. Yeah, she's put something fun is coming to YouTube. I don't know if there's a challenge like this, but we haven't seen it. So you know why you haven't seen it? Do you know why you haven't seen this challenge? Do you know why you haven't seen this challenge? Cause it's fucking racist. That's why you haven't seen this challenge. Cause everybody with good sense was like, Nah.
But what I am gonna do is get on these acoustic guitars, what I won't do is paint my face.
The black face challenge. She said, we're calling it the chocolate challenge. Come watch us perform in deep chocolate skin tones from our pasted pale. Transform.
Oh, I'm about to say, what is we performing?
Transform just as bad.
Right.
They even put in brown contacts. What? How is this okay, guys?
I don't know.
Something fun's coming to YouTube. Oh my god. It's gonna be so fun!
Did they put up the YouTube page, or did
they got a picture of them eating some watermelon too to just go along with it?
One eating watermelon and one eating fried chicken.
Right. Chocolate challenge! Pastor Texas Pete. The photo was soon reposted by YouTuber Arnell Armand, who pointed out the offensive nature of the picture, something that Chapel didn't catch on to, though the rest of the internet has. Armand's post has aggregated more than 70 replies from angry followers, as well as a post by critic Jasmine Brown. This challenge doesn't exist because people have common sense. The disrespect.
Come on.
Oh, man. She later came out, Chapel, and said, I simply wanted to see how I looked in a deeper skin tone. I wasn't aware of the whole blackface concept before people began. You know what? She just hadn't listened to Amelia. Because if she would have listened to Amelia, she would have found out racism is just like sexism. It's everywhere. What? It's a sism out here? It's these isms?
Nobody told me about none of these isms.
I didn't know y'all was out here doing this. Oh, I would have been stopped. I would like to apologize to the people.
I don't believe you, ma'am.
I like to apologize to the people that were hurt or offended by my past, and it won't happen again.
I don't accept your apology.
First Mahisa, and now this. Meanwhile, some of social media have been expressing disappointment.
Oh, you know what? She tried to go to that Rachel Dolezal school and only got half done.
Girl, you got to finish the whole. You got to finish the whole thing.
Girl, you got to flip over. Turn yourself to the other side.
Oh my God, she looks a motherfucking plum ass fool.
Right? They do look crazy.
You know they curled their hair too on purpose.
You know they got a perm, right, to make that shit curl.
Dude, girl, this is some planning.
That's your way of mimicking black people hair.
Oh man,
gonna fuck your hair up.
Terrible, disgusting. Who gave y'all the eye? Whiteness did.
Well, this nigga.
I knew the answer to that. Whiteness.
Oh, I'm surprised they ain't shot the makeup brand. You know what I mean? Cover Girl would have been like, we got a whole line out the Queen Latifah, bitch. No.
The chocolate challenge. I challenge y'all to run up on some police in the chocolate challenge. Full face. Let's see what happens then. I'd love you to. Everybody won't be a nigga, though. Nobody won't be a nigga, though.
Come on. Come on, dog.
0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 200. 100 each for each of them.
Well, they only did half their faces, so that's 100. That's 100 for me, too. The chocolate challenge, y'all. For real.
And then got mad talking about, we want to do it up. People like, you know, that's why they out here, right?
I can't believe no one has even thought of this yet, Karen. It's the Jigaboo challenge.
They thought about it. They thought about it. They was like, nah. I just put on acoustic guitar and just sing, nigga. I'm not gonna actually paint my face like a nigga.
It's the Jigaboo challenge, y'all. I can't believe we the first people to come up with it. We paint our faces and then we start singing old Negro spirituals and making jokes about being coons. It's
offshoot challenge.
How is nobody on YouTube doing this yet? Oh yeah,
you got some good old fashioned shoe polish there, boss.
We're gonna do the Hitler challenge, y'all. We're gonna dress up like Nazis. Nobody's thought of this. I can't believe people aren't. I mean, look, at least not that I know of. Huh, idiot. A black family gets a racist anonymous letter demanding they mow their ghetto lawn.
Oh, why is the grass ghetto? What the grass ever do to you? The grass is like, look, nigga, I'm just green.
Ghetto lawn.
Po grass.
That does make it racist, because you know if they was white, they wouldn't have called it a ghetto lawn. In today's episode,
I mean, yeah, it's racist, but I just feel bad for the po grass. Like, shit, I'm just growing, nigga.
In today's episode of Racist Neighbors, a man named Chris Sullivan, who lives in Fishers, Indiana, is calling out the secret racist who left a written letter in his mailbox on Wednesday. The one-page letter got Sullivan's yard, claiming it was overgrown with weeds. No, none of your damn business much. Already this is enough to make you want to punch a mailbox, but it gets worse. This isn't the ghetto and your home looks trashy, wrote the letter. A white woman wrote that. Okay, we all agree.
Yeah, white man didn't write that.
Yeah, for my profiling. My racism profiling. This is a,
she picked that straight up out the playbook.
This is a blonde.
Is that page 5, page 6? Which one, you know, grab the book that they showed us when we turned white.
This is a blonde or brunette white woman, possibly a power walker. She may walk in groups.
Yes, blonde, every morning.
She definitely owns a dog that she walks and lets shit on.
Of course, pushes the baby in the stroller.
The letter, you says, you may not care what your property looks like, but you can at least be respectful enough to mow your lawn and get rid of all the weeds growing around your neighborhood, your backyard fence and patio, ! This is not the ghetto, which is capitalized, and your home looks trashy, so what do you think people think about you and your family? Let me be honest, if they're racist like you, it wouldn't matter if my fucking house is the Huxtable's house, you still think we were niggers. If you can't take the property out, if you can't take care of your property, then maybe you should think about moving into an apartment. Ooh, the audacity. The caucasity of this woman. Oh, man. Can't believe this. Yeah, she says, I will seek further assistance from Fishers Town Council if we must, and you will be billed for the charges of mowing your lawn, weed eating, and spraying for weeds, which is $140. So wait, you gonna get the town council involved in my yard? Just one yard? How small is this town? What else is on the docket in y'all's town halls that y'all are able to be like, you know what, dog? We'll now move to the most pressing news of the day. Somebody ain't cutting their grass. What is up with your people, Karen?
Mm-hmm. Them ain't my people.
Mm-hmm. Just like sexism.
If that grass wouldn't get her, wouldn't be in this problem.
This is just like sexism to me.
Well, apparently it is.
It's the same, as far as I'm concerned.
Woke up and realized it was all around me, just like this pollen.
Move back to your sorority. Your sorority grass.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a sense of right from wrong. They know it's wrong to steal and burn down a CVS and an old person's home. I mean, come on.
Come on. So calling them thugs, call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
That's how I feel about this ghetto grass comment. Just call me a nigga. Let's get it over with.
Ryan, you wasting everybody's time.
Just because you're a renter doesn't mean, ooh, that's what white people love to say. Just because you're a renter doesn't mean you don't have to follow the same guidelines as other homeowners. If you're going to rent a house, then you should expect to maintain this property. Thanks from the neighborhood Britton Ridge Association.
You know whose responsibility that is? Whoever owns that home.
Here's my question. Did y'all do this? Because Vic Moeller, the manager of the home association, said, we didn't do this. It's in poor taste and terrible judgment. Also, if you guys would like to see the yard, now here's the thing. Even if the yard was looking like the fucking jungle, it's still fucked up to send this letter to this person, right? We see the racist undertones. But wait till you see the fucking yard. And this is the other thing. I don't know if they just cut the grass that day, but it looked good to me. And if they did just cut the grass for taking this picture, that is the best petty you can possibly have. That is magnifique king petty. That's what I would do. I would cut the fuck out of my grass and then call the news and be like, can you believe this racist ass shit I'm dealing with over here? But look at this yard though. It don't look bad at all. Like, what are they talking about? I thought this shit was gonna look like motherfucking predator jungle and shit. White people are racist as fuck, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he put it on Twitter. He just put, welcome to Fishers, Indiana, where there are secret races. This is laughable, and yes, that's my yard. I'm gonna retweet that right now. Mm-hmm. That's sad.
Yeah, and they talking about renters. It varies, but for most renters, the homeowner who rented the house, they do shit like that. Like, that's not your responsibility. Now, some people where the renter does do that, but I'm renting this home. I do not own this home.
French President Emmanuel Macron, who's everybody's bae, you know, these days, can't do no wrong. He's like the white Obama, you know, everybody, when the French elected him, everybody in America just head tilted, like, I mean, we had a handsome president.
Ain't that one that Obama picked, he supported?
Yeah. Well, he fucked up. Emmanuel Macron, the newly elected French president, one of American liberals' top bays of the moment, was caught saying some racist things about Africa recently, speaking at a press conference during the G20 summit over the weekend. He said the challenges in Africa were civilizational and rooted in problems such as mothers having seven or eight children. The comments came after journalists from the Ivory Coast asked about France's role in sending financial aid to Africa. Macron disputed the idea that foreign dollars can solve deep-seated problems that are civilizational. The challenge in Africa is very different and much more profound. It is civilizational today. What are the problems in Africa? Failed states, complex democratic transitions, demographic transitions, which is, as I said this morning, one of the essential challenges in Africa. When countries today have 7 to 8 children per woman, one can use and dispense billions of euros and still stabilize nothing. Blaming the Africans who call some of the planet's more impoverished regions their homes is nothing new, particularly from leaders of countries that spent hundreds of years ruling countries of the continent through brutal colonial rule. Macron, who ironically once made headlines for his condemnation of French racism and colonialism in Africa, is unfortunately just the latest Frenchman to indulge in such racism. Yeah, I remember when President Obama first got elected in 2008. It wasn't too long. I don't know if it was a G20 or somewhere, but he said some similar shit about Africa too. Like, I don't know if when athletes get jobs on TV and the first thing they have to say is something bad about their team. I don't know what it is, but no matter who you are, if you're a president of one of these countries, you're still going to be an imperialist. You're still going to be, you're still going to represent all the ugly shit about your country as well.
Right. And a lot of these places, they've been colonized. They've been, civil wars. You have people constantly taking these places over. Like, people act like this shit is simple.
Well, I don't know enough about Africa to even say. You know what I mean? Those are all things I know from being an American, all the stereotypes I've learned about Africa. I know people that are from Africa that, got pissed when they read this shit, so I don't even know, to be honest. So yeah, to say some shit like that. Anyway, 0 to 100. Oh wait, did we say 0 to 100 for the last one?
I don't know. Everybody getting 100.
100. Yeah, everybody get 100. Sorry, Macron, but that's 100, bro. You can't be out here shitting on Africa like that. You know?
Like, you don't have no Africans in the place that you govern over.
Right. Civilizational? That sounds very much like pull yourself up by your bootstrap shit.
Come on. And that's not everywhere.
All right, let's move into some other stuff. Let's play some Guess the Race, guys. All right. Oh shit, I need to make a new session. We only got 13 minutes. All right, we'll see what we can do with this. Let's do some Guess the Race, and we'll get into that. Let's see. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, they're all races. Guess the Race is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with all kinds of exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises in the world. Craig, go to lootcrate.com/tbgwt and enter code tbgwt, get $3 off of any new subscription. Last month in June, I opened up the box and I got a Spider-Man figure that is sitting on my shelf right now, and it was cool because I was going to see Spider-Man Homecoming, which was amazing, spectacular, and superior. It made me feel good to be able to take that picture before I left my house, like, look at me looking at Spider-Man, about to go witness the greatest Spider-Man movie of all time. I think it's moments like that that are dope, you know, whether it's putting on my Rick and Morty socks to go play basketball and people being like, is that Rick and Morty? I'm like, that is Rick and Morty. What's up, my nerd? Because you never know. Never know who's a nerd till you hanging out with them.
That's true.
So Loot Crate definitely takes care of you. 6 to 8 items a month, $20 a month, and that less than $20 a month, and that also varies per box, because you can get the Loot Crate DX, which has some cool ass gear and the collectibles. You can get Loot Wear, which has the best fucking wearable items and shirts and socks and shit. It's so worth it. I've never felt ripped off by a box. Make sure you guys get it. lootcrate.com/tbgwt, enter code tbgwt, and get $3 off of any new subscription. All right, let's get into some Guess the Race, guys. How about this one? A man kills prison pen pal and her boyfriend less than a month after his release, says the cops.
Oh, shit.
An Ohio man has been accused of viciously butchering a woman who he wrote to while behind bars, as well as her boyfriend, a month after his prison release. Thomas Knuff, 42, was charged with aggravated murder in the stabbing deaths of 65-year-old John Mann and 50-year-old Regina Capobianco, who badly decomposed bodies were found in Mann's home. Mann and Capobianco.
No, you said they've decomposed?
Yeah.
So they've been there for a while.
Mann and Capobianco, who were in a romantic relationship, picked up Knuff from the Lorraine Correctional Institution on April 11th. Marking the first time the three had come face to face. Damn, man, they became friends with an inmate, and dude even picked them up from jail. Wow. When they picked them up from prison, it was the first time they met. Capobianco met Knuff through a prison pen pal program that connected the pair while they were separately serving time in prison. Oh, so she was in prison too. Knuff had been serving more than 15 years for a myriad of charges, including aggravated robbery with a firearm, safe cracking, and breaking and entering. They went on to write each other for about 10 years. Knuff went back with Capobianco and Mann to Mann's home in Nellwood Road in Parma Heights, which Scharschmidt said was under foreclosure and had been targeted on several drug and prostitution investigations that ultimately yielded no criminal charges. By May 11th, Mann and Capobianco were dead. Both had been stabbed several times in the neck and shoulder. He put them in the bedroom together and was still there for approximately a week living there.
Wow.
So he lived with the bodies for a week. Police discovered the bodies on June 21st.
Oh, nearly, I can't imagine what that smelled like.
Nearly a month after Coppi Bianco's sister reported her missing. Officials said it took several trips to find the remains in the home, which was in such bad shape it was believed to have been abandoned. Once we determined we should do a thorough check, we had to move him to get to her. A knife believed to have been used in the killings was found at the home. They're still working to determine a motive behind the grisly slayings. Nuff was arrested May 31st in connection with break-ins at a hair salon and a nail salon where registers are stolen after the business front doors were shattered. He had been cooperative with police but did not provide a motive for the killings and has invoked his right to an attorney. He's made statements to the effect that she was not who he thought he was. He talked to us about coming forward saying it's self-defense. Nothing points to that. Yeah, he pleaded not guilty in arraignment on Monday. Guess the race.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what y'all say in the chat. White. All right. Scroll down. Police searched for a black suspect before reluctantly arresting him. Aww. Where'd they go? Who? The black people that did this. 10-year prison PN pal, white. This is too Cobb, white. The correct answer is they were all white. Yeah.
Oh, somebody said one who thought there were too many black women on Spider-Man. That's a good one.
Yeah. It's not showing the, hold on, let me refresh real quick, guys. It's not showing the chat the picture. Hate when that happens. But yeah, they were white, man. That's wild because, you know, the prison pen pal plan, you know, that's something. I mean, who knows what that could have been,
right?
Like, y'all got that tight, that close, you picked them up from prison, took them to your crib, and now y'all dead less than a month later. Shit,
mom.
You know, and it sounded like the house was a dirty ass shack. So, you know, it sounded like nothing good was going on in there, period. You know, they thought it was abandoned when they came up and couldn't find the bodies after several trips. Like, shit.
Right.
Everything about that story sounds fucking horrible, man.
Come on.
But yeah, here's their picture. He's in the middle in a small box. So I'll see if I can make it bigger. Is it showing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's him in the orange box right there. And that's both of them, the two people that died. They was old to be.
Wow.
All of them white too. A bunch of damn white criminals. Mm-mm-mm. You don't see that often in these streets. All right, let's
get
go
your life together. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, how about this one? A fight over Star Wars and Star Trek led to an assault.
Oh shit, Daenerys beefing.
Oklahoma City. Police say a fight over Star Trek and Star Wars led to an assault in the metro. Jerome Dwayne White, 23, was arrested July 1st on a complaint of assault and battery, possession of outstanding Oklahoma County warrants. Oklahoma City Police Department report showed that White and another man were in the living room of an apartment when they began arguing if Star Wars or Star Trek was better. The victim told police he became frustrated and stated, "You're just a trick," before walking back to his room. White allegedly followed the man and shoved him to the ground. The victim got back up and told police he stated, "You want to replay that?" and was once again shoved to the ground. Police say White then wrapped his arms around the victim's neck and began choking him. The victim was nearly unconscious when he pulled out a pocket knife. White let go and reached for the knife, cutting himself. He then left the room. Police later arrested White and booked him in Oklahoma County Jail. Guess the race.
I was gonna go white, but I'm going black.
Black for Jerome White. Mm-hmm. All right, let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Dark side black. Black girls didn't like me because I was nerdy black. Oh, People who constantly get mistaken for Russell Westbrook. Shaking my head. They probably never gave you niggas nerd. They should have never gave you niggas nerd shit. Obi White Kenobi, OKC niggas, white Jean-Luc Picard white. They believe Captain Sisko was an affirmative action hire. White Jerome, the correct answer is they were black. How did so many of y'all get that?
Because of the phrase that they were, you a trick. White folks don't talk like that.
That's a good point. Some of y'all did miss it though. I wonder if that Star Trek fight music came on.
They were going at it. No. You don't want none of this, homeboy.
A woman is convicted of soliciting firefighter husband's killing. A firefighter's a firefighter's wife is accused of soliciting her firefighter husband's killing to collect $100,000 in insurance money. She's a newlywed. She's been convicted of aggravated murder in a scheme that was flawed from the start because his ex-wife was still the beneficiary on the policy. Uloma Curry Walker, 45, could receive life in prison without parole for the November 2013 slaying of William Walker, whom she had married just 4 months earlier. Jurors deliberated for less than 2 hours before coming back with the verdict. Prosecutors said Curry Walker was nearing financial ruin after running up tens of thousands of dollars in debt when she asked her then 17-year-old daughter and the daughter's boyfriend to find someone to kill her husband so she could collect the insurance money.
Wow.
But a police investigation found that her plan had a glaring problem from the outset. Her husband had not yet changed the beneficiary on the insurance policy from his ex-wife's name to Curry Walker's when he was killed, so it was the ex-wife who received the money. Testimony showed that Curry Walker gave her boyfriend Chad Padgett $1,000 down payment to carry out the slaying. Padgett contacted his cousin Chris Hine, who initially failed in his attempt to kill Walker. He then turned to Ryan Doherty,
the road runner,
right? He then turned to Ryan Doherty to carry out the killing. He did get him killed. Prosecutor said Doherty ambushed Walker and shot him 4 times. He returned home from getting fast food Curry Walker had requested, so it was a setup. She and her husband were packing the night he was killed for a move to a house they had purchased outside Cleveland. The daughter, Padgett Hine, and Doherty testified against Curry Walker as a trial. At trial as part of a plea deal for their roles in a murder conspiracy. Of course they turned on you. You used a bunch of teenagers to do a fucking killing, stupid. Hine agreed to sentence of 18 years to life, Padgett 28 years of life, and Doherty 23 years of life. Prosecutors agreed not to seek adult charges against Curry Walker's daughter. She will instead spend a month in juvenile detention center. That's it. The daughter testified at trial that her mother told her, "No one will believe I would hire a bunch of kids to kill someone when I know people that could." Yeah, no one believe it because it's so stupid, which is why you shouldn't have done it. Curry Walker wrote a confession the day she surrendered to police that she killed her husband because he was abusive. Of course, this shit gonna be on Snap. Her attorneys did not call any witnesses to testify that Walker was violent towards his wife. So that'll be the retrial. Cleveland.com reported that one of Curry Walker's attorneys pointed to discrepancy in the witness testimony during closing arguments and suggested the daughter had devised the murder scheme. Oh, they tried to frame the daughter. Girl, you tried everything. Neither of her attorneys returned the telephone messages seeking comment. I will get y'all's guesses on the race when we come back because we're over the time limit. But Karen, what's your guess before we move into there?
I say white.
Karen's going white. We'll be right back and we'll see if she's right, guys.
I'll ask y'all again then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's shoes I look. Everybody going down. And you know what? Teenagers don't keep secrets.
I know.
I don't know when people gonna learn.
How many articles we read? Somebody try to fuck a teenager. Teenager tell everybody.
Yeah, somebody try to do something. Teenager got a diary. Teenager put it on Snapchat. Teenager put it on YouTube. It's on Instagram.
Right. This generation got so many tools to tell their business. I don't know why you would try to do a damn conspiracy to commit murder with these motherfuckers. Ain't no way.
Right.
Y'all gonna get caught.
Right. You talking about particularly with this generation. Everything about their life is recorded. So yeah, it's digitally going somewhere.
All right, guess the race, guys, in the chat. Now that we're back, if you already guessed again because I didn't get to read it, sorry about that.
Yeah, Start rolling over, might take them a few seconds.
We'll get out and sell the rights to a feature movie for millions. Forever felling up white. Kim Possible says white. Uses their kids as hitmen. White says Ace Noir. I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for them stupid kids. White. Economic anxiety is a bitch. White says Nell. Everybody's going white on this one. All right.
Hitman called her by her first name. I'm assuming that's white.
Yeah, that's white. That's okay. White. The correct answer is black. Yeah, nobody got it.
The crowd got rowdy.
Let me tell you why you should have went black on this one, guys. His insurance policy was in his ex-wife's name. That's some black shit. That is some black ass shit, ain't it? Just, I mean, he got a secret family too. Like, what else going on? Yeah, this is her in jail. I mean, in court. And that's him. He was black, the black fireman. Look at him by his truck. Man, this is gonna be a good episode of Snap. Mm-hmm. Man, this her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend, the one that couldn't get the killing done. And then these are the two people they hired, and the white boy is the one that went through and got the killing done. Cause leave it to a white man to kill somebody black. They've been doing it for centuries, getting it right every time. So yeah, there you guys go. Let's see. Let's get into some sword ratchetness, guys. We'll get out of here. This is gonna be a short show tonight. We started late, but it's all good. We've been doing so many podcasts.
Yes, we have, and got some more to do this week.
Mm-hmm. A man was injured in a reported sword attack in a Kansas City suburb. They're investigating a sword attack that injured a man in Kansas City. The police say a victim of the incident shortly before 4 a.m. Monday was treated at the hospital for injuries not considered life-threatening. The alleged assailant was arrested. No additional details were provided. There was no immediate word about charges. That was a short one. Damn. Thought we was gonna get more than that. Actually, you know what, guys? This has been a pretty somber episode. It's been pretty down. I think we should do something fun.
Okay. What you wanna do?
We're gonna end this thing. Let's end something on a good note, okay? How about this?
Yeah. Hey!
Do I still know the words? I don't know. Gotti here go 12 bar. Gucci man got 9 stars. We call him 5-star. 5-star nigga, that's a 5-star chick. That's a 645. That's that new M6. Pay her bills, get her health fix, might even pay her rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever, can't even lie. I'm so super high. Do not give her unless she is fly. Gucci man a thug, see, yo, this is a shrug. See, she love me now, she love you not. Now all bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, look a Gucci girl and meet me. If you can find a 5-star hotel, you can beat me. That's a 5-star. That's a 5-star. And that's a 5-star. If your credit go hot, beat your nails, stay fly. Keep your juice box wet, your head something fire. You a 5-star. And you a 5-star. And you a 5-star. You a... All right.
Yeah, we that jam in a long time.
We got a groupie tail, guys. We got
what?
One of these groupies got out here and fucked one of these niggas and told all these business.
Let's do it, dawg.
It's been too long.
I know, right?
Tails. Quavo likes the bad and bougie girls in Houston.
Oh shit.
It's everyone's favorite Baller Alert feature. Groupie Tales are back. Last year we got Groupie Tales about Quavo and Offset Amigos. You can read about those. We read them last year. Now it's time. Now it looks like we got yet another tale about Quavo. Read it below. Disclaimer: Groupie Tales are submitted by our readers. We cannot confirm 100% accuracy of any story posted. Want to share your story? Email 118@BallerAlert.com. You can remain anonymous. October 21st, 2016. Oh, she started with that date. What is this? This is new. It's like the damn Dear Diary. Dick Diary. October 21st, 2016. Here's how it happened. The Migos performed at Texas Southern University. After the performance, they were getting ready to leave. My friend and I knew they were going out the side door, so we stood inside by the door. Listen, these groupies came prepared. Now see, I applaud this, okay? Like the preparation it takes, the heist of the dick that they pulled. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
They know the routine.
They was in that bitch like Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible. I bet they had wires from the ceiling suspended with goggles catching they sweat from hitting the floor. Like I feel like they had a whole set up, you know. It was like set it off but for some dick.
Come on.
My friends and I knew they were going out the side door, so we stood inside by the door. My friends are scary though. I'm bold as fuck. I don't care. When they went to walk past us, I introduced myself. They stopped and spoke for a while, since it was three of them and three of us, not including their bodyguards and their little crew. Quavo was the first to say they had to go, but he gave me his number and told me shoot him a text around 12. 12:01, I was sending a text. 12:01.
I'll make you wait a minute.
She said,
not a second longer.
I ain't no hoe. I ain't giving up no. I ain't texting you at 12. 12:01 though, I will. That 60 seconds makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve Harvey got a 90-day rule. She got a 90-second rule. He asked, did we want a link, but my friends were being lame. I told him, just me. I told him I lived on campus at TSU, so that's where he came and got me from. I'm guessing it was a rental car, but it was nice. I was fresh out the shower. And when I got in the car, front seat, because it was just us, he was like, damn, you smell good. I was like, I'm a girl. How am I supposed to smell? Then he got the air on, full blast, freezing me. We to the radio as he was driving. I was looking out the window, nervous as fuck. He asked me, did I smoke? I said, yeah. So we smoked while we were riding. I'm kind of surprised he drives his car, because normally groupie procedure is you send a homeboy to pick her up or you Uber her, but you know, it's pretty much you come to the hotel and get this dick, then you leave. This is kind of romantic. Even we went to St. Regis Hotel on Briar Oaks. I had never been to a real nice hotel like that before. When we pulled up, I thought he would be all stuck up and valet park his car, but he didn't. He took me up to his room and it was so amazing. It was like a house in a hotel. When you first walk in, to your left, it's this coat closet. And a little farther down to the right, it's this really huge master bathroom. Offset and Takeoff was sitting in there talking, but I only saw one bed. I was confused at first, but there was a hallway on the side, I guess, that led to their beds. So keep in mind, I'm high as fuck. I go in the bathroom and try to sober up, because now I'm paranoid, because I'm the only girl. I was thinking, like, what if they think I'm trying to flip, you know, have sex with all of them. So Quavo knocked on the door. I said, yeah. He opened the door and walked in, then closed it behind him. He asked me, was I good? I'm trying to act like he a regular guy, so I'm just like, yeah, I'm okay. All said, knocked on the door and say something, and I don't know what, because they got their own little code to speak in. Quavo laughed, then say, nah, we good, here I come. He turns around, kissing my mouth real quick, then said, that's $1 million kiss. Don't tell nobody, and walks out the bathroom. She told everybody, Quavo, I'm sorry. At this point, I'm beyond freaked out. I was finna tell him I was ready to go home. I walked out the bathroom and everybody but Quavo was gone. I asked where they went, and he said they was hungry, and then started laughing like a weirdo. So now I'm like, yep,
this nigga crazy.
Ah!
He tells me I can sit down on the bed, that I don't have to stand. I was like, what kind of game he, because I'm not a groupie. If he thought otherwise, okay, you don't get the right in the group of tales to be like, I ain't no damn, you think I'm just gonna be fucking? Yes, nigga, that's the point. Sorry.
That's why you wrote right in, right?
He said he wasn't running no game. He said, I seen he ain't do relationships because he traveled a lot. I was like, so you ain't get me here trying to fuck? He said, nah, that must be what's on your mind. And he laughed again. I said, so what we gonna do? He hands me a note and said, we could watch TV. I put on the Disney Channel because it's late. And that's when all the good stuff on.
Shout out to the Disney Channel and Nicktoons at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, they trying to Disney and chill.
Yes, Disney and chill.
We watching That's So Raven, and I had shorts on, so I'm cold. He must have noticed and told me I can get under the covers. I did, but I was trying to stay on my side. That ain't happen. We end up laid up watching TV. I started getting sleepy. He started rubbing my thigh. He was like, I know you ain't sleep, and kiss my neck. He get me hot, so I climb on top of him and start kissing and sucking his neck. He stopped me and told me he don't leave no marks. If I wanted to, I had to do it on his stomach. I said, nah, because it was so close to his stuff. He said,
that is stuff.
He said, you don't suck. I said, only if you eat. And he was like, oh, all right. Which I guess meant no. Oh, it meant no. He helped me take my shirt off and was kissing my collarbone. When he touched my cat on top of the shorts, he said, damn, you already wet as fuck. I just smiled. He pulled my shorts and thong off. He was like, hold on. So she had a thong on too. Come on, man. You know what it was. I just came to watch Disney. Nigga, come
and
on.
A thong.
A nigga, you, it's a chance to fuck Quavo. He only in town for one night. You gotta do it for the story, if nothing else.
I ain't mad at you.
He got out the bed and came back with a condom. He unbuttoned his shirt and his belt. Then he slid his pants down. At this time, I'm rethinking, should I do this? He pulled his meat out through the hole in his boxers, and I'm like, yep, do it. Yeah, you know it's romantic when they go through the hole in the boxers, guys. That's when it's love making.
Ain't nothing like it. Woo, woo, dick through the boxers.
Mm-hmm. That Tony Everetti style.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my porn creeps.
Ah!
He put that condom on, and it was started. He knew just what to do, too. When he was hitting it from the back, he was pulling my hair. Then I was riding it. When Offset and Takeoff walked in, Quavo flipped us and threw the covers over us. Offset and Takeoff laughing and was like, okay, okay, we leaving. And I hear the door open and close. We finished. I'm laying down falling asleep, and Quavo went and took a shower. He waked me up when he got out and told me he was finna drop me off at home. While he was driving me home, he asked was I hungry. I said no. When we got back on campus, he told me text him as soon as I stepped in the door, which I did. We stayed in contact. When he in Houston, he hits my phone. When I heard he was talking to Chris Brown ex, I asked him about it. He claimed it wasn't like that. But when I asked, was they fucking, he asked what that had to do with anything. Niggas.
He was like, what that got to do with anything? I told you I ain't want a relationship.
Why you bringing up old shit?
Right.
So I told him if he fucking her, put me on with Lucci. And I guess that pissed him off. And we don't talk no more. Truth is, I miss him though. Comments. JD says, not put me on with Lucci.
Who's Lucci? I don't know. Who is a Lucci, y'all?
Mm-hmm. Susan Lucci, is that?
I don't know. Is that a cigar? What's a Lucci?
Is that like another version of Gucci?
I don't know. That's the kind of drug. I'm old. I don't know none of the young folks' slang.
YFN Lucci, Rashawn Lamar Bennett, better known as his stage name YFN Lucci, is an American rapper from Atlanta, Georgia. In 2014, signed a record deal with Think It's a Game Entertainment and released his debut mixtape, Wish Me Well.
Okay, good to know. Now there I know what a Lucci is.
He's 26 years old. Shima says, I loved your story, friend. Every bit of it. Kat says, when you know the girl who's in the story, because you went to TSU. She didn't even go to TSU. Her best friend did. Then I remember her being really drunk that night. Damn, Kat spilling all the tea. Mm.
Mariah says another ass dry purse story. Listen, some of these women be, y'all don't gotta make up y'all mind, because if they try to get some money, y'all get mad at them. If they don't get no money, you get mad at them too.
I know
it can be hard to ask a man for money without appearing like a thirsty gold digger. Nigga, hard, impossible. If I fuck you the first night we meet and then you turn around and ask for some money, ain't no other way to look at it. It's not no, you know what? I could use a couple $100s too, by the way. Like, nah, you gonna look like either a sex worker or a gold digger, or like you gonna look something bad, quote unquote, in these dudes' eyes. And you know that. But here's the thing. For most of the time, you already look bad in their eyes because they don't respect women. So you might as well try to get something. Anyway, but he's getting what he wants. So why shouldn't you? Why are you assuming that she wanted the money though? Isn't that interesting? I think some of these groupies just be wanting the story and the dick.
For some of them, it's true.
Yeah, I don't know that all of them want to get some money.
Everybody ain't in for the money.
Her actions also didn't align with her word. Kudos to her for giving us material for another groupie tale, but what does she have to show for it? Optimus Dime says, apparently Quavo didn't get left off bad and bougie. Cracking the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, hating ass Terrell Jones.
Ah!
All right, here we go. Sorry, it's been so long since I did this, y'all. I'm out of practice. So you like that so raving, bitch? Well, guess what's in your future? Ass eating all night long if you fuck with me.
Oh Lord, oh no.
What does that even have to do with anything?
I know, I guess because he didn't need his ass. I mean, he didn't need her ass.
I don't know.
Is
he saying it as a compliment, like I love that so Raven and I'll eat your ass all night? No, if you because, like it
no because you know Raven Desmond is gay.
I don't think what does that have to do with eating ass though?
I don't know,
Karen. What is going on? The mind of hating ass Terrell Jones, impossible to follow.
It is. I'm sorry, I'm trying to make logic in my bag.
Oh, anyway, guys, that's it for this week, for today, I mean, for this episode.
Shout out to the ass eaters out there then.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Till then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.